I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday night, the 8th of February this week. The sun is shining, land is drying, and grain prices are on the rise. It's a good week to be a tillage farmer. Coming up on this week's show, we talk fieldwork with Chagas's Veronica Nyan, herbicides on beans with Chris Maughan of Whelan's, and fungicides and sprayers with Liz Lynn of Corteva. As always, we have the grain market and weather reports at the end. While travelling the roads this week, the tractors were out in force. There's plenty of ploughing going on, there's sprayers on the move and drills in the ground. I'm a bit of a sceptic sometimes when it comes to very early sowing. I suppose I'm always afraid of that rain that's going to come if crops are going to be sitting in wet. And while it's great to have the good weather, I don't want to break it. I suppose maybe some of the crops are time enough going in still. So let's see what leash tillage advisor Veronica Nyan thinks about this. Veronica, we finally have good weather in the forecast. People are out ploughing and people thinking of sowing as well. And I suppose beans and malt and barley are in their heads. But it's a bit early, isn't it? Like, what would you say to people sowing beans at the minute?
Oh, thanks, Siobhan. Look, I suppose the temptation is there. We've had, people are itching to go. I suppose beans, we would say that the research would suggest that beans are better sown in kind of early March, late February,
yeah,
especially if you're putting them in on kind of a drier ground late February, and if it's a more heavier soil early March.
Yeah.
Going now, we tend to find that the seed bed, we don't get a really good seed bed, which can affect growth, and also bird damage is a big issue around now.
Yeah.
So also it's so important to get the Nirvana or whatever spray, herbicide, you're getting out, and you want to get that out really quickly after sowing. So you need to, you're probably better off maybe waiting a week or two to get better conditions to get a better crop.
Yeah, like if you're planting now, crows are going to have something to flock to. You're going to be the only person around with a crop in. And as you said, that herbicide is so important. But at the same time, like beans are, people should really be thinking about sowing beans this year. I kind of fear that the acreage won't increase as much as it should. They've got so many benefits in the rotation.
Oh, absolutely. Last year, we would have pushed hard for beans in the sense that with the fertiliser prices, we would have been recommending people look at them strongly. And also just like bray crops have been shown, we would always talk about them in relation to the follow-on crop, the impact they have on a first wheat, etc. But now the research has shown these bray crops are standing on their own 2 feet and they are getting the highest margins. Beans this year, because of the new money towards in cap towards the protein aid, is going to garner around €500 a hectare. It's predicted based on the area. like €500, that's €200 an acre before you get up in the morning to even put the key in the tractor. There's lower fertilizer requirements. They perform better with reduced nitrogen. They actually don't like nitrogen being put out on them. And their spray program is pretty straightforward. So, look, the reality is, yes, I think people are nervous, especially I'm based around the Midlands, where we can have a lot of very good free-draining sandy soils, ideal malting barley ground, and people would be nervous about them from that perspective. But if you do have any kind of medium-heavy ground, to me, they're kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. And I think everyone should maybe try this year, put in a small area, get a bit of experience, and you might find, and I think you probably will, that this becomes a steady part of your rotation going forward.
Yeah. And this year is the year to try them as well. That payment is going to be at its highest this year, and it'll go down as the years go on.
Yeah.
Veronica, you had a great spring seminar in Portlaoise last week.
Yeah.
And you pointed out a lot of things that people need to know for the season ahead. Like, I suppose, first of all, people are spreading slurry at the minute, so if they're spreading, they need to incorporate.
Yeah. So, look, the new rules around us, there'll be a high usage of pig slurry. Those now, that slurry must be spread with low emission slurry spreading technology. And if you are going with cattle slurry, then you have to either use low emission slurry spreading technology, or you have to incorporate it within 24 hours of applying it. So that's going to require a kind of a two-step operation for you. Yeah. But that's in now as of this year. And also people stocked, and be aware, anyone who's in a mixed enterprise and who looks at their stock levels and goes, oh, I'm not heavily stocked, it's your grassland stocking rate you need to look at. And if that's over 130 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which is about 2 full-grown animals to the hectare, then you need to be using low-emission slurry spreading there as well, or thinking about it, or moving forward to it.
And as well, soil sampling, and Kieran Collins mentioned this on the podcast a few weeks ago as well, but I think we can't hammer it home enough. If you don't have a soil sample, you can't spread pea at the minute, or an in-date one.
No, yeah. So we would have always, when you'd no soil sample, you assumed your fertility was at a maintenance level requirement. Now we're assuming it's in excess. So you've zero pea allowance.
Yeah.
And that is a standard across the board for all tillage ground.
So, and there's a wait on soil samples as well at the minute, up to 4 weeks in some cases. So people should really get on that job. And Veronica, another thing that came up last week at the seminar was buffer zones.
Yes.
So we all know that 2 metre buffer zone has gone to 3.
Yes.
But so that's along a water course on the, you know, the blue line on the OSI map. But then a dry drain, anything that can carry water, there's a change there as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So any surface water holding, so drains and streams, rivers, the whole shebang, you were always supposed to stay out 2 metres for fertiliser and plant protection products. Mm. That has moved to 3 metres now across the board for everything.
Yeah.
Now, with blue-lined maps, what we call OSI marked maps, you cannot cultivate within 3 metres now of those. And the suggestion is that may also apply to some of your drains as well. So you really need to look at what is blue-lined on your maps. And really, the only, people look at their maps and see these blue lines drawn in. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to kind of consult your advisor and find out what are the OSI marked watercourses on your maps.
Yeah. And a large amount of land there to lose as well. But I suppose, aside from the land you lose, if you can't spread pesticides in that area, there's a risk of grass weeds. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe people are best to leave that uncultivated. I know it may be a terrible thing to say, but for the risk of spreading more problems.
Yeah, and look, I suppose all of this stuff is coming because the reality is the research shows our water quality is deteriorating. And as somebody based in the Midlands next to some of the most polluted rivers in the country, this is where the technology the legislation is coming from to protect these watercourses. So look, the reality is you can't spread fertilizer within 3 meters of a drain. You can't spread pesticides in within 3 metres of drain, and the Department of Agriculture would argue, why would you plant there? So I suppose it's something to be thinking about when you're going into sow.
Yeah, definitely. And loads of things to think about there, Veronica. And I suppose there is some of those tillage seminars still to come in other counties, and very important that people get to them to fill in on that information as well. So thanks very much for talking to us.
No bother, Siobhan. Thanks for having me.
thanks to Veronica, some really good advice there, and very important to keep up to date on all of those, the new CAP arrangements. On this week's tillage pages, we detail the Chagas costs and returns, and beans come out really well on those pages. So take a look, and we'll stay on the subject of beans now. I caught up with Chris Mahon of Whelehan's this week, and he had some practical advice on pre-emergence herbicides on beans. Chris, you were just talking about herbicides there, and it's the time of year where there's already people going out planting beans, and it's very important, of course, to get a pre-emergence herbicide onto those crops. So what are you recommending people go with?
Yeah, well, out of our camp, we have two products, Stallion or Centium. Stallion is a standalone product, so you'd use that on its own, and the key with it is to get it on immediately after sowing, or within certainly the next couple of days, and don't be waiting. So you'd apply it generally 2.5 to 3 litres, keep the rate high, because you really only have one chance to get on with a herbicide on beans, and you don't get that option really to come back with a post-emergent product.
And a product like Stallion there, it's clomazone is the active ingredient, and it needs a high water volume, doesn't it? That's really important.
Yeah, it contains two ingredients, clomazone and pendimethalin, but that clomazone does need a high water volume in order to get it out onto the ground and get it to work properly. So minimum we'd be talking about would be minimum 200 litres per hectare of water in a coarse nozzle.
Yeah, and ideally ground rolled before that spray goes out as well to make it work effectively.
Yeah, it can help good ground condition. Look, if you get good ground conditions and that, it makes it all the better. And obviously then you're looking for moist weather afterwards. But the key with the herbicide is to get on immediately after sowing and don't be waiting. Otherwise, if you miss the opportunity, there's very little you can do post-emergent.
Yeah. And grass weeds and cereal crops, Chris, it's a never-ending issue, I suppose. But you brought up a good few good points there. I suppose we're getting to the time of year where some of the labels are running out on certain products, but you brought up Broadway Star there on wheat, and it's another option, I suppose, to mix up chemistry.
It is certainly, yeah. Broadway Star is going to control a good few of your grass weeds, like control wild oats, volunteer oats, but also bromes and ryegrass is quite effective on it.
And you were encouraging people to use Broadway Star to control wild oats, because I suppose they don't have that option on their barley, on their winter barley, and I suppose it's another way of preventing resistance, and that's something that's really important that we have to do.
Yeah, no, correct. I know Chagas is doing a lot of work, and there is resistance to certain herbicides in Ireland to wild oats, so it's important to use alternative products with different mode of actions. Broadway Star can only be used on wheat crops, both spring wheat and winter wheat. So it is an opportunity to use Broadway Star in that crop and then use some of the other active ingredients then on barley crops.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, Chris. Good advice there for people.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Thanks very much to Chris. And there's also a story on the news pages this week about the maximum payments that can be paid under the new protein scheme. So a minimum of €350 per hectare every year, but the payment in 2023 is likely to be over €500. But look, the details of that story are on the news pages. Plenty of tillage in the paper this week. Pat O'Toole also reports from the Irish Grain Growers meeting that was held in the southeast this week down in Enniscorthy. And there's a few other bits in there as well, of course, along with Grain Trends and Management as well. Okay, next up, I was talking to Liz Lynn of Corteva. They had a briefing recently on their products. We heard about appropriate use of Inatrek, the new active, and the importance of sprayer hygiene. Some of you may have heard about some sprayer issues with the Inatrek active last season. So here's what Liz had to say. So Liz, we've just heard a lot about Inatrek there, and Inatrek, of course, is one of the new chemistries, and over the past few weeks there's a lot of conferences and we're talking about, you know, minding that chemistry and proper rates and everything. So like we saw on the graphs, Inatrek's performing really well at the minute in trials. So, you know, how important is it that we protect that chemistry, and how do we how do we use it to ensure we protect it?
Yeah, so good point. You know, it's brand new chemistry. We've had this will be the third full season of it, of use. And really, as I said, there's no more new chemistry coming anytime soon. It's getting harder and harder to register products, so we need to mind what we have. Resistance management is key. This was brought up at the tillage conference, and it's brought over and over again, and any more meetings that are going on, I'm sure they'll be talking about it. This really comes down to one thing that's important, is using it once in a programme. As much as you'd like to say, let's put it on twice, great chemistry, that's not what we want to do for the longevity of it. We need to use it once and use it right. With regard to rates, you need appropriate. You know, you need to use the rate that's needed. And it, that depends on weather pressure, variety. And really, farmers and agronomists will make that decision based on those factors. And again, mixtures of chemistry, need to use mixtures. So us with the different mode of action, and that's one good thing with Inatrek, it's a QII, which is new into the cereal fungicides. So it's a new mode of action. So then gives you the option to mix it with azoles, which have been around for a long time.
And I know the farmer and the advisor will decide on the rate, but have you a minimum rate? So what's the minimum that you need to put out in order to, I suppose, use a robust rate?
Yeah, well, I kind of say for Ireland, we're really between 1.5 and 2 litres is where I see it being used and where I see it being effective and for what we need. Yeah. Other countries would use lower rates. In Ireland, where we're a breeding ground for Septoria. And now in recent years, we've seen more rust coming into play. So the rates, we really say near a minimum of 1.5 and up to 2 litres, depending on the pressure that you have.
We heard from Sally earlier as well. Sally works in the UK with Corteva, and she spoke about, like you've mentioned there, how there's not much chemistry coming down the line. But Sally spoke a bit about how hard it is to get this chemistry onto the market. You might just describe some of that, what she was saying about that.
Yeah, so that's something that is becoming more and more difficult. Even look for Inatrek registration, we were hoping we were going to have it 1 year. That got pushed out. There's pressure within Europe and within all the countries with regard to regulations around ecotoxicology, and these things have to be safe to the environment. And the criteria for that is getting tighter and tighter. So what that does is means there's more work being put in by the manufacturers to get testing done with regard to these different parameters. That takes time. So that means it's taking longer. And then again, there's a push for more kind of natural type products, ones with lower active amount of ingredients. And that's always important. So to find those kind of products takes time, and again, to get them registered just is pushing everything out.
And money as well. I think Sally said about 300 million.
These things aren't cheap, and we can get in trouble about price, and these are expensive, but it's 300 million, and I would say I'm growing. It's getting more and more expensive. So we are putting the money in, and as Sally said, 1.4 billion. We put 10% of all our revenue back into R&D, but we have to recoup that. If we're not making, and that's one thing I always say to any customers, agronomists, by them buying the chemistry that we have now, whether it's the new stuff or slightly older, all of that is going towards funding R&D for new products to come through. So by them supporting manufacturers and supporting the pipeline, the portfolio that we have, that helps us to build our pipeline and bring it to registration and get it out there into the market.
Yeah, you mentioned like the new types of products and biologicals and those kind of things. Like Inatrek in a way is a biological, so it's a whole new era for chemistry, really. So like, so it's, but it's not classed as a biological obviously when we go to registration, but you might describe a little bit about what that means.
Yeah, so Inatrek, I suppose, in its natural form is UK2A. So that's the actual, what is doing the work in the plant. So it's produced through fermentation, but to actually make it stable in a can, we have to go through a chemical process. So that takes a natural step out of it. When it is applied and it applied onto the crop, it then converts back to that UK2A, which is a natural product, and that's what's actually doing the work on the Septoria. So it's a natural product, but a chemical step had to put in to keep it stable.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Something that was really important today as well was stewardship and how we use these products. So like water rates, all these kind of things that sometimes farmers forget about, or you know, just maybe you know, spray days are short, are not very well available sometimes in Ireland, and water rates get cut. So a few points when you're using Inatrek, what do you need to do?
So I suppose, as people will know, in 2022 there was a number of cases with regard to sprayer issues both here and in the UK. We didn't see any major ones in mainland Europe, but they were in the UK and they were here. So look, we took that very seriously. A huge amount of testing went on with regard to trying to work out what it was. Was it a batch? Was water hardness, temperature? We looked at all of these things and we couldn't pinpoint one or two specific things that were doing it. So for us to give, I suppose, best practice advice for people in 2023 after use, we came up with a criteria, just a number of things that people can do. And really, as you mentioned there, a lot of it comes down to sprayer hygiene. So a couple of factors that we have would be water rate. So we need people to be using a minimum of 200 litres. I know that's a bit of a change, but look, this advice that I'm discussing here is really belt and braces for 2023. This is ongoing, it's evolving, we're looking into it more. So as I said, water concentration there, water volume needs to be 200 litres. Also the materials, a lot of the issues that were found were around diaphragms and consumable parts within sprayers were beginning to soften. So when farmers were spraying and they shut off the nozzle, because the diaphragm or the O-ring had gone soft, the nozzle was dripping. So we looked at different materials and what we found was a lot of these was a lot of acronyms and new kind of plastic products that I heard that I knew nothing about. Yeah. And we found that EPDM and Teflon were very robust in the testing that we did. So what we're asking farmers to do is replace the diaphragm parts, let's say in their nozzles, with EPDM or Teflon if they can get it. If they can't, which can be the case, as people know, last year was a tricky time to try and get parts, and COVID hasn't helped with that, and the Ukraine didn't help with that. We would say, well, then change them for what you can before you spray in a trek, and then just check your sprayer after, see is there any dripping nozzles or does anything need to be changed. And one of the main things as well is, now we don't have a huge amount of them in Ireland, but some of I suppose more high-tech sprayers have a pulse width modulation system on them. And we're saying for 2023 that we do not want Inatrek to be used in those systems. So until, as I said, we're looking into more of this, it's an evolving situation. But for 2023, we don't want them used through this.
And you gave great advice there today. Tom Robinson was he gave a really good presentation on sprayer hygiene and some of the things that you've just said there. And there is a video for that, and we'll put that on the site as well. That video, people will be able to watch it. Yeah. But I suppose, like, these are all things that people should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you should be cleaning your sprayer out when you're finished in the evenings. Like, so, I mean, this is good practice no matter what product you're using.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's something that has shown us. And look, lots of new chemistry coming through. Tank mixes guys are doing. Stuff is getting more complicated.
Yeah.
And as Tom said, every time you put a chemical in sprayer, it's doing damage to it.
Yeah.
So, as he said, there was a sprayer. Now, I know he put a top in, €400,000 for a sprayer. And the amount of money the chemical is very low.
Yeah.
So you want to mind that sprayer and you want to get longevity out of it.
Yeah.
So I think it is important. Sprayer hygiene has just become... And I know, as you say, guys get under pressure with time and understand that. But I think we just need to be a bit more diligent about keeping sprayers clean, putting them away clean at the end of the day and having them ready. Then, as Tom says, you need to go out the next day. It's clean and fresh and you can go out. Because there's always issue with residues as well with certain products if it's not washed out. Like Gary mentioned earlier, the likes of sugar beet, you know, you've got to be careful going back out that you're not going to cause damage to the next crop. So,
He said if you checked a sprayer, it'd actually be residue there from the very first tank that you sprayed in it. So, like, he was really interesting. Look, Liz, thanks very much for joining us. Great advice there and good to see new chemistry coming.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks very much to Liz for that chat. And we did say we'd put that video up, and it is up and went up online last weekend on the site. So if you go to the tillage section, you'll find that video on the tillage section of the Farmers Journal website. Now, grain markets, and we're in the green. So as I speak, close of business on Wednesday, the Matif wheat price for December finished at €208.25 per tonne. Just to give you an idea of where other prices are at, so Glanbia came out with a price of €220 per tonne for September green barley and €230 per tonne for September green wheat. So that's feed wheat and barley for this year. And look, overall this week prices are on the rise. Just taken for instance, on Friday that Matif price for December was at €273.75. And at the time of going to print it was at €279 and closed the day at €280. So on the rise all the time. Oilseed rape for November also up. It closed on Friday last at €544.50 per tonne. It made it to €552 per tonne by Wednesday morning. Spot prices then for barley at the minute, they're over €270 per tonne in some cases. And then the November price then at €10 per tonne under this about. And wheat prices are kind of trading spot prices for wheat are trading somewhere in the region of about €20 per tonne over barley. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. Okay, we'll go to the weather report next. So I'm just looking at the Met Éireann report that's come into us here in the paper. And so forecast for Friday, quite cloudy, dull overall. But a good deal of dry weather, a few outbreaks of light rain and drizzle at times, and look, high temperatures there of 10 to 12 degrees, and light to moderate southwesterly winds, fresher through though along the northern coast, they're telling us as well. And look, we know people in the north and west of the country aren't getting some of that drying weather that we're getting down here. So, you know, while it's good that we're getting the work down here, it's important to remember that not all farmers are getting out to the fields. Saturday, another fairly cloudy day, although there will be brighter outbreaks, predominantly dry, spots of light rain and drizzle, highest temperatures 9 to 11 degrees, and overnight temperatures falling between 4 and 7 in light to moderate southerly breezes. Sunday, similar to Saturday. Outlook for Monday to Wednesday, other than some mist and drizzle on higher ground on Monday, it'll be a mostly dry day, sunny spells. Tuesday looks to be a mostly dry and bright day, prolonged sunny spells developing, and then rain to push into the west on Tuesday night, leaving a dull and a damp start on Wednesday, and temperatures will be milder than average as well. So look, certainly looking like good weather into the middle of next week anyway, or until Tuesday evening at least. Okay, so that draws this week's podcast to a close. Look, keep an eye on the paper and online for all your tillage news. Thanks to our guests this week, to Veronica, to Chris and to Liz as well. Thanks, of course, to you for listening, to Claire and Jerome for editing back at base. Stay safe in the fields this week and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.